Welcome to Nevada News. Meg's on the broadcast today. He ran the Lack Salt for Governor campaign, plus many more over the years. Robert Eithoven joins us with J3 strategies for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program, after an absence, Robert Eithoven. He's the head of J3 Strategies. One of your clients in the last election cycle was Adam Laxalt,
yeah,
for governor. What is the latest that we know about Adam Laxalt and his future plans?
Well, he has a great, he landed a great job as a partner at Cooper & Kirk, which is a prominent law firm. They're based in Washington, D.C., but he still lives here in Reno, and he spends a lot of time traveling between Reno and Las Vegas. And so working and building his legal practice has been, I think, the number one priority. But he's...
What's his specialty?
Constitutional law, and, you know, as a former attorney general, his office was very active in that space. As you see, our new incoming, I shouldn't say incoming, he's been attorney general now for 8 months. Aaron Ford's been very active in this space, too. So attorneys general around the country typically more and more get pretty litigious. In the case with Adam Laxalt, really during the last 2 years of the Obama administration, when there was so much executive action outside of Congress. There were a number of lawsuits filed by the Attorney General's office here in Nevada. And I think you see that a lot now currently with Aaron Ford. So he's working on his law practice. He's still politically involved. He's still running his Morning in Nevada PAC. And he's got the fifth annual Basque Fry coming up in Gardnerville that we do each year out of Corley Ranch. And so
has been hugely successful.
Yeah, it's been a great event, and even bigger this year because he has announced that CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Group that ACU puts on, American Conservative Union, and Adam Laxalt's on that board. Matt Schlapp is ahead of it. He'll be out here for that, and they'll do their first regional Western CPAC event on Friday, September 13th, and then the following day is the Basque Fry out at Corley Ranch in Gardnerville on the 14th. So a lot of excitement around the policy panels and some of the movement conservatives, some of the top think tank experts in conservative governance around the country will be in town for that, and then a great barbecue the next day.
Does he have plans for elective office again from Nevada? I mean, there was certainly talk that he might run for CD2. Has that dissipated?
Well, I mean, he supports Mark Amaday. Mark Amaday's current congressman from the 2nd District, and I think so long as Mark Amaday stays and continues to run for re-election, he'll have Adam Laxalt's support. I don't know about beyond 2020 what Amaday's plans are. I don't know if he knows what his plans
Correct.
Are, but, you know, if that opened up, I'm sure he would take a look at it. There's not really anything statewide available on the ballot in 2020 here in Nevada. Both of our U.S. senators will be in the middle of their term. The constitutional officers were all just voted in 2018. And so, I think he would probably take another look at it down the road. Anything can happen in politics. I still say it's an eternity until 2020's election.
Right.
More than a year out. And so I hope he does. I think he's very good at public service. I hope he does enormously well in the private practice and in his law firm. I hope the PAC continues to do well, and I hope something opens up down the road, whether it's a future statewide race or a congressional race.
Stephen Horsfoot is living proof that you can be a congressman, go into private practice with a really high-paying job, and come back in to
right.
a congressional seat.
Right, absolutely.
So that door is not closed. So, okay, so let's take a look back, because every campaign, winning or losing, looks at what happened during the campaign, what they did right, what they did wrong. What are your thoughts on the post-campaign of why we don't have Governor Laxalt at this point?
Well, you look back at previous midterms. 2014 was such an anomaly. I know a lot of people often refer to it as a red wave. It wasn't really a red wave. Republicans turned out how they typically do in a midterm in 2014. Democrats did not turn out at all. They typically don't turn out at the same level anyway, but they really stayed home. And that was Barack Obama's second term midterm. So a lot of Republicans got elected. So it's really hard to base going into 2018. You'd have to go back to 2010. 2010 was kind of an odd year. It was a midterm as well, but it was a Harry Reid reelect, and it was Harry Reid, Sharon Engel, and so there was a lot of Democratic money and enthusiasm to try to reelect, which did end up working out for Harry Reid in 2010. So, when you look at these different pillars, what we knew going into 2018 is that the Democrats would have to have a banner year, a turnout, in order to win. And sure enough, they did. I mean, their election day turnout was almost presidential. It was like 99% of a presidential. Republicans did what Republicans do. We turned out at the typical level Republicans turn out in a midterm. Not a lot of great enthusiasm on the right. Major enthusiasm against the president, of course, on the left in the state, and enthusiasm and money. And I think having a very, the most hotly contested U.S. Senate race in the country was right here in Nevada. So we had a ton of money pouring in from the outside, working to turn out people who were center left, and certainly not near the amount of money, even though Adam Laxalt raised more money than any other candidate, Republican candidate for governor in history. I mean, Adam Laxalt raised more money than Brian Sandoval did in two runs for governor, just in his one run in 2018. But Sisolak outraised him. The left, by and far, outraised the Republicans. They put that money into registration. They put that money into, obviously, the Rosen campaign and all the third-party groups. And same with the third-party groups in the governor's race. So, when we look back at it, it was a 5% Democrat advantage registration-wise. They turned out in almost a presidential cycle level. And Adam Laxalt lost by 4. Dean Heller lost by 5. Which was exactly the registration differential in the state. So, registration matters.
All right, so then that brings up the topic of state registration and the state party. I mean, should there be a change at the top in the leadership of the state Republican Party? There's been certainly, George Harrison was on here just a couple of weeks ago talking about what a great guy Michael McDonald is, but how horrible he is at his job. Would you agree or disagree?
I wish I'd seen that. I did not see that interview.
It's online at
NevadaNewsmakers.com. Say it 3 times. I don't think there should be a change. And I ran against Michael McDonald years ago and lost. And, he has the backing of the president. And the president is the most important. He's the top of the ballot. And again, like we just discussed, there's not a lot of races, statewide races, competitive races like that, big money races in Nevada in 2020. Ultimately, you've got to have the backing of the Central Committee. I got into the race very late when I ran. I didn't have the backing of the people who actually vote for chairman. It's not like every registered Republican shows up somewhere and votes for their party chair. And unless something out there has happened that I'm not aware of, I know that there's well-intentioned people running against Michael McDonald. I don't have anything against people running against him. I think campaigns are good. Campaigns are good for elected office, public sector jobs, and they're good for party chair as well. But I just think Michael McDonald has the backing of this administration, and you know, he ought to be able to run the party through this cycle.
All right, but we've also seen, as you well know, over many cycles now in Nevada, that you have the mainstream Republican Party that he controls, and then you've had the shadow Republican Party that in a lot of cases has had way more money than the state party has. And you talk about this 5% gap. How do you close that gap?
Third-party groups.
There's Republicans have a great story to tell if they can get it out there, which is called the economy.
Right, a great economy. I think it's, you know, it's just a lot of the post-Citizens United world we live in, where a lot of people feel like the parties are a little bit too extreme. You know, they think the Democratic Party might be a little too leftward. There's a lot of Republicans out there, especially people who write big checks, who may not support the leadership and the officers in the state party, and they don't want to get down into the fights that take place over bylaws and, you know, all the typical fights that take place in these party conventions. And so they want to fund an entity that will support the cause, elect Republicans, recruit, retain Republicans, conservatives, but they don't want to mess around with, you know, funding big overhead and executive directors and field directors and all that. They want to fund, you know, direct voter ID and GOTV, get out the vote efforts. And some of these third party groups can tend to be more efficient at doing that. It's just a battle that everyone has to deal with. It's not just here in Nevada. I think it's other swing states
as well.
All right,
but do you think that the Republicans are getting to where they need to get to close that 5% gap? Because not only you've got that 5% gap, but you've got this growing group of independents that, like you say, don't want to be a part of either the Republican or the Democratic Party at this point.
It's important to track the people who are independents who used to be part of either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, because then you can go target them and try to bring them back in if they left the party, or if they say they were registered Republican in a state they moved from to Nevada, they get here and they just show up and register to vote independent because they want to, you know, see what it's like here in Nevada, the politics. So we do need to target them. My bigger concern is a very competitive Democratic presidential going on, early state caucus, which Nevada is. We have candidate visits every single day, multiple. That generates enthusiasm, that generates money, that generates the ability to for the Democrats to pull away in registration, which started back in the 08 cycle when Harry Reid made Nevada an early caucus state. It was one of the brilliant things that he did politically. It's one of his lasting legacies politically, was doing that early caucus and same-day registration. I mean, they registered 50,000 people the day of their caucus. So we're at 71,000 plus right now today, a split between Republican and Democrat. If there isn't significant money and buy-in and support coming in to keep that margin close at the 70,000 level, we could be at 150,000 by November 2020. And if it's 120,000, 150,000 Democratic lead, you won't see, I don't believe you'll see the kind of competition here that we saw in 2016 when Trump only lost by 2.4%. At 2.4% at 70,000 differential with all those independents, which I think can lean towards the president, he'll compete here. I think we have to keep an eye on those numbers and make sure it doesn't double or triple.
All right, so at this point, you feel that we're moving away from being a purple state and heading towards being a Democratic state, but do you also feel that that is only a temporary status because Nevada tends to swing?
We do tend to swing. I think the risk of going blue on a more permanent basis is higher than it's ever been. I think a lot of Republicans probably sat back when Harry Reid announced he was retiring and saying, the Godfather's going away, and now we can come back and we will turn our state red and we'll stay red for a long time. And I think a little bit of complacency might have set in. Clearly that did not happen. I mean, the Democrats blew us away in the 2018 election. I mean, to think that we were a 25-17 Republican-led assembly in 2015, and now they have a super majority in 2019, is pretty stunning. So Republicans have their work to do, and you know, donors who do the math in a presidential, and when I mean the math, I mean the electoral votes, if they don't think that Trump runs Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, you know, in some of these states, they gotta look out here, they gotta look at Nevada. I don't know if Colorado's even got a chance to go back red. New Mexico, the numbers are closer than you would think, because I always put New Mexico as one of those states that was Bush twice and hasn't been for a Republican since. Colorado, Bush twice, hasn't been Republican since. Nevada, Bush twice, hasn't been Republican since.
All right, let's take a break. More with Robert Eithoven when we come back.
Tamara Grand Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robert Eidhoven of J3 Strategies. Just to go back for a second to Adam Laxalt, in his first time out, you actually ended up winning not with Clark County or Washoe County, but with the rurals.
We didn't draw it up that way, but that is what happened. In 2014, when he ran for Attorney General and he won that race, he was the first statewide candidate in Nevada, at least dating back 100 years, I think it was, to win statewide without winning Washoe or Clark. So this time around, we lost Washoe and Clark again. We lost Washoe by, you know, a few thousand votes, but Clark was just, you know, we won the rurals by 50,000. He's always done extremely well there. Washoe is, and then Clark, you know, we lost by 90,000. You know, you just can't win a statewide race and lose Clark County. Of course, Steve Sisolak, Governor Sisolak, was the chairman of the Clark County Commission. We always knew that Clark County would be tough. You always know you're going to lose Clark County. You just try to keep those margins narrow enough where you can make it up as you travel north. You know, Washoe's kind of tough too. I mean, Washoe's been tough on Dean Heller. It wasn't the first time Dean Heller had lost Washoe County. He lost it in congressional races when he was representing CD2.
Do you think part of Dean Heller's loss was what appeared to me, and I said this to him, a lack of personal confidence on his part? It seemed to me that he had had this incredible career over 30 years, so many offices, so many elections, not just appointments, but elections. And win or lose, it seemed to me that he should have been enjoying himself and getting out there and being able to talk about all the things that he'd accomplished over his career and displaying this level of confidence. And yet it really didn't seem to me that the level of confidence was there.
You know, that's an interesting take. It's the first I've heard it. When I saw him, it was usually at a campaign event, a rally, a parade, and he's always very good. He and his wife, Lynn, were always good, smiling, cheerful, up on the horses, you know, out on the parade route. But maybe there's a point there. Maybe it's something that I didn't see. I was obviously much more aligned and paying attention to what was going on in the governor's race.
Well, for example, you look at Ronald Reagan,
yeah,
and the positive attitude that he had and portrayed throughout his campaigns.
Right.
Support him or not, Donald Trump is very positive towards his campaigns and the people that attend his rallies, etc. But just in general, you know, on a daily basis, he is confident about who he is and what he's doing and where he's heading. And it seems to me one of the problems with the Democrats who are running for the president at this point in time is that
doom and gloom.
Yeah, I mean, it that's the portrayal that I'm getting.
Right.
There are a few bright spots here and there. It's nice to hear Cory Booker not pandering, but saying, You know, if I'm elected, I want to be the president of all Americans, as against some of the individuals who are pandering to different groups.
Right.
But it just seems to me that Dean had a stellar career, and he did not portray that confidence during that campaign.
Yeah, you know, perhaps. And, you know, you could probably say that about the Laxalt campaign, too, and a number of others. On the losing campaign, you spent a lot more time thinking about, you know, going back and, you know, doing that Monday morning quarterback thing. I think the healthcare issue, I think, had a huge impact. I don't know if it would have made a difference. I think it's just the trench warfare in these campaigns. I think I said right after the end of the 2016 or the 2018 campaign that the year or the cycle of the midterm is over. It's almost like every election is so consequential. And I mean, the Democrats treated it as one, as a presidential, and Republicans will have to respond, you know, and we did. I mean, look at the Tea Party revolution started in Obama's first midterm. We already talked about 2014, his second midterm. I think people are just, you know, the way politics and 24-hour news cable and the warfare that never stops makes every election almost a presidential, consequential level election. So, you know, perhaps that's the case with Senator Heller. But the healthcare, going back to the healthcare issue, for Republicans not to have an answer on pre-existing conditions is criminal. Like, there's bills that have been introduced that we can do a free market, more of a free market system in healthcare that is not Obamacare, that is not Medicare for all, and it will protect pre-existing conditions. Hold those bills up and do an ad. It's like, this is my bill, you know, and I just think across the board, across the country, we didn't do a good enough job at it. I mean, it came into the governor's race. The governor's race doesn't have, you know, the governors aren't writing federal healthcare laws. But, you know, they nationalized a lot of the aspects of the healthcare debate in state and local elections. And the fact that Republicans did not have a swift, immediate, strong response to, you're going to strip so-and-so, you know, their pre-existing condition away, I think that might have added a point or two.
All right, let's take a break. One more with Robert Eidhoven after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robert Eidhoven. We have not even gotten to Las Vegas Sands. We'll have to do that on another show because you represent them, and it's a fascinating, incredible company. Wanted to talk to you about the Hispanic vote. Because this should have been and was for a long time a natural fit for the Republican Party, and it has been chased away. At what point do the Republicans figure out that they need and want the Hispanic community back into the fold of the Republican Party?
I mean, particularly in the Intermountain West, the Southwest, we've talked a little bit
about
that.
You talked about New Mexico. I mean, the population is insanely Hispanic there.
But the president's poll numbers are surprisingly better in New Mexico than they are in a place like, say, Colorado, or you can go to a number of other states. I think states where the Hispanic population and business owners and families have moved in, first-generation Americans, Republicans tend to do better in those states, and we should be doing better, and we should be, you know, writing the campaign plan for other states that are going to see the same shift in demographics. I think there's a great story to tell about Hispanic unemployment being the lowest it's ever been since we've been tracking unemployment. That needs to get out there. The family values issues that tend to resonate well with Hispanic communities. I mean, you look down and some of these battles that take place with the Clark County School District down south, a little bit up here as well, whether it's school choice or some of the social conservative issues, it's Hispanic families that are showing up at those town hall meetings and really raising their voice on an issue that is a banner issue, could be a banner issue for Republicans. So I think, you know, it's working it. I mean, I go back, you know, okay. we knew each other from the Givens days, but Givens did well amongst Hispanic voters because he showed up and he spoke to them, and we just got to do a better job at it, especially here.
As Woody Allen said, half of life is just showing up. And
there
that's
you
where
go.
We have to leave it. Robert,
thank
you very much.
Appreciate it.
And we'll be back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our Nevada Newsmakers channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.